Unit 3, page 38, listening, exercise 2.
There's a lot of discussion nowadays about what lies in store for old buildings and monuments. Now, you're both involved in looking after places like these. Bob, what do you think is the best way of going about this so they don't suffer unduly from the rising number of tourists visiting them?
Well, one of the ways that you can do this is to build a tourist centre. About 13 years ago, a firm of architects won a competition to design a new tourist centre for one of Britain's most prestigious ancient monuments, Stonehenge. Mm-hmm. There's no shortage of financial backing, but the centre is still in the pipeline, and the debate over what exactly it should offer visitors thunders on. Most people, and that includes me, start to ask themselves, who is it for? How accessible should it be? Will it simply encourage even more visitors to come to the site? And so on.
Indeed. Personally, I feel we should do something quite dramatic, like forget the whole thing. Close all the existing visitor facilities at Stonehenge and remove any references to those famous standing stones from all the tourist literature. In other words, leave the place alone for anyone who happens to come along to discover it for the first time, as it were.
Great plan, but totally unrealistic, of course, and Carrie knows that only too well. That's because the tourist industry is an invaluable revenue earner, so there's no way that's ever going to happen. Everyone's well aware that some kind of money-spinning centre is on the cards. The point is that Stonehenge is one of those sites that just has to be visited. Petra is another. The Rose Red City is one of the world's most alluring tourist sites. It's a truly magical place.
It certainly is, and so, of course, is Stonehenge. But apart from being a must for travellers, there are so many other similarities between the two sites. One of the most significant, in my opinion, is that they could both be overwhelmed by visitors in the future. There are plans to build a tourist centre at Petra too, a $5 million visitor and interpretation centre. The project's been controversial, but what they're going to try and do is tuck the centre into the surrounding hills. Apparently it won't dominate the entrance to Petra. It'll lead visitors gently in and out of the site without in any way damaging it.
I agree that the Petra project certainly is an impressive one, but what appeals to me most about it is the fact that it'll offer tourists a more in-depth look at the site. Too many tourists arrive at a place of interest, pay their sometimes exorbitant entrance fee, then make a dash for the main attractions. They often miss out on the carefully thought-out displays designed to give them an idea of why the place was built, what role it had in history, what kind of people lived there, what their daily life was like.
I hope it succeeds in getting that message across to visitors. But from what I've read about the project, the aim seems to be to maintain the aura of Petra as a lost city, a place to be discovered. Again, it's a bit like Stonehenge in this respect, and the people I've talked to about the plans for Petra certainly feel that it should reveal its secrets slowly, rather than all at once, to its numerous visitors. It should keep that vital element of dramatic surprise, so that the visitor never knows what's round the corner. I think if the project manages to achieve that, despite all the publicity surrounding it, and ensures that the vast numbers of tourists don't damage it forever, it will have been very successful indeed.
Absolutely. It would certainly be a tragedy if places like these weren't protected in some way. And I suppose I have to admit that building something like a visitor centre is one way of ensuring that places like these do survive intact. And in the long run, it's up to every one of us to make sure that they do.
Bob, Carrie, thanks for sharing your views with us this evening.